Good evening. I just thank the Lord for the privilege to be here and to be able to bring you God's Word. We're supposed to be here on a vacation. But of course, that's what they said. Wherever we may go, we need to be always ready. That's what they said. Yes, we're part of VOM, and we represent the Philippines. This is the first time that we have the office at the Manila in the Philippines. So what we do is we're engaging churches to get to know persecution is real. Because just like you here, we're free. Except for the southern part, of course. Maybe some of you have heard about it, some of you have not. But yes, something's going on in the south. But we praise God that still we are free to open our Bibles, we are free to worship God. And nobody's stopping us from doing that. So we thank the Lord for this privilege. This is our first time together with my wife to travel outside the Philippines. So yeah, it's just a blessing. And we are just so amazed how God is really doing all these things. So we have read Ephesians chapter 1. I just don't want to make this too long since maybe it's the weather. So let me just read it and just follow me with your eyes. We're going to be doing this a two-part since I'm going to be preaching still next Sunday in the afternoon. So focus your attention from verses 3 down to 14. Let me just read that. It says here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, to that in the dispensation of fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of His glory." Let me just pray first. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, You are Creator of heaven and earth. You are our Holy God. You are our Sustainer. And we praise You, dear Father, that we can ponder upon Your Word, open freely Your Word, and feast upon Your Word. Just use Your servant today as Your mouthpiece. And may we learn from Your Word today, this evening, and may we grow more in the Lord Jesus Christ. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. They were just singing in church. They were just worshiping. Now can we say, we're still blessed? Being 7-year-old, losing your father, having a younger child there, we're just worshiping. And yet we say we're the most blessed people on earth. Well, the question always is this. We live every day free to worship God and free to read His Bible. We're free to grow, but slow. But the other hand, persecuted church is restricted to worship, to pray, to even serve the Lord. But they grew exponentially. And we have the same doctrine, but the difference is circumstances. We have different circumstances. But why is it that it's hard for us to really expand and grow more for the Lord Jesus Christ? What's the problem of that generation? And we say always that we have faith, but the question always is, where's our faith? And I believe one of the things that we need to do is this. We need to remind ourselves who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe one of the things that we need to do is to remind ourselves the blessing of being a believer. Yes, it is a blessing to be a believer. It is different to be a believer. Why? One thing, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the hope of everything. And Jesus is always the answer for everything. And in the book of Ephesians, it is just a wonderful reminder where you get to just verse 3 of chapter 1, where she says, it says there, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How many times does it repeat the word blessing or bless? 3 times in one verse. That means it is truly a blessing to be a believer. And this afternoon, I want to remind everybody and remind ourselves the blessing of being a believer. Sometimes we focus too much on the circumstances that we are, but we forget who we are in the Lord and the blessings that comes with it. Because as we are in Christ, there's so much blessing that God has given us that we are not claiming and we're not living in it. And let me just remind you about the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians theme, one of the theme verse is Ephesians 1 verse 3. And two things that we need to remember when we read about Ephesians. Orthodoxy and orthopraxy. That means right doctrine will always result to right practice. Because it's nothing if we have the right doctrine but we don't practice it well. And my prayer, as we go back to the blessing that the Apostle Paul is reminding us, being God's children, it will reflect in our practice. So this evening, let me just share to you 3 blessings. Yes, this is 7. We'll finish the other 4 next Sunday. But we'll just learn about 3 blessings this afternoon. The first blessing that we could read there is in verse 4. If you have your Bibles, look at your Bibles. It says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The first blessing of being a Christian is this. We need to remind ourselves that we are chosen by God. Can you just tap your seatmate today? I know we're just so quiet and so serious. Can you just tap your seatmate and say, you're chosen by God? Remind him. Remind her. There you go. Thank you. It's nice to be chosen, is it not? To be chosen? Right? Amongst everybody, you are chosen. You know, God chooses us. We were not forced upon Him. He wanted us. And neither was this a last minute decision in His part. This was not a last-minute decision. It was His choice made before the foundation of the world. Wow. Isn't it not good that God has chosen us no matter who we are? I know we can always go back to the life we have before. You know, I live a life before that. When I was growing into college, and I was so thin, I was so skinny, and Pastor Jen can remember that, I was part of a group where I had long hair as well. So, excuse me if I say this, but in the Philippines, if you have long hair and you're skinny, it's like you're a drug addict. That's what they see in you. So, I used to join this youth group. And one of our youth leaders as a pastor or our youth pastor said, the wife said, you know, Paul, I don't think you have a bright future ahead of you. Look at you. I mean, you're skinny and your hair's long. And it's like you're just wandering. Nothing. But you know what? Fast forward and we saw each other a long, long time after a long, long time and said, you know what? We can never question God's grace. Look at you now. And that's true. you know how God works in us? When God chose us before the foundation of the world, it is not focused on our merit. It focuses on God's choice on us. Listen, it's not about what we do. It's about how God chose us. And yes, there are four components of this election. We'll just brush quickly, because this is not the perfect time for me to discuss election, because that is a very complicated topic that we will discuss. But four components of election. Number one, as we can see in our Bible, it is in Him. Meaning, in Christ, because of His sacrifice on our behalf. Our salvation rests on God's choosing us. Us being saved, it rests upon God choosing us. And of course, our being chosen rests on God's love and mercy alone. You know, we can never separate grace and mercy. Why? Grace means undeserved. Mercy means withholding what we deserve. And we can never separate the two. Right? And therefore, salvation is completely certain because it is eternal. Believers are chosen in Him, in Christ. And that's the first component of our being selected. In addition to that, we have the blessing and election only because of what Christ has done to us. That's what we always say. Without Christ, there's no salvation, because it's only through Christ that we are saved. The second component of that election of God choosing us is not only in Him, but according to this verse, it is before the creation of the world. It means from eternity past. From eternity past. It means before God created anything, His plan was already in place to give eternal salvation to those who would believe in His Son. Even before the foundation of the world, before God created people, before He knew sin would occur, before penalty would have been paid, and He knew in Himself that His Son would pay it. That's the second component. Not only that in Him, that is in Christ, but we are chosen before everything was created. The third component of that is that it is done for a specific purpose. What is the specific purpose? To be holy and blameless in His sight. That's the purpose of God choosing us. That's why sometimes, even in our context and everywhere we go, we always say Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We cannot separate the two. Meaning, Jesus saved us. He is our Savior. We need salvation. But we cannot separate that He is also our Lord. Meaning, we follow whatever pleases Him. And we follow whatever He directs us. Why? Because He has good plans for us. Do you believe that God is good? I can't hear you. Do you believe that God is good? And if He is good, then that means He has good plans for us. And if He has good plans for us, then we need to follow Him. But the question always is, why are we following Him? If He had good plans, if He have good will for us, then why aren't we following Him? We were at Katumba yesterday. I was with our Vietnamese friend from Vom. And we were riding this, what you call that, the train that the crosses? There you go. And then we were talking while waiting. You know, people trust on these things. This is metal. And you'll never know when it breaks. Right? You have the steepest terrain in the whole world. And people trust it. And on the other side, they cannot trust Jesus. How foolish is that? They don't know the maintenance. Right? They cannot go to the maintenance and ask, have you maintained this track? Is it safe? But with Jesus, they can always go to the Bible and always see that God loves you and God has a perfect plan for you. And they can't believe that. They cannot trust that. You know, God has always a better plan for us, and His purpose is always simple. to be holy and blameless in His sight, meaning that we are free from sin, that we walk uprightly on what God would want us to be. To be holy means to be set apart in order to reflect God's nature. And we are chosen by God for a new life, new goals, and a certain future in eternity with Him. That is what it means to be a believer. New perspective. And that perspective is always Christ's perspective. The fourth component of the election, not only in Him, which is in Christ, not only that it is before the creation of the world, not only that it's done for a specific purpose, which is to be holy and blameless, but the last component of that is that it is an act of love. God loves you. God loves me. God loves us. Can you remind your seatmate today, this evening, God loves you? Tell him. We need to be reminded of God's love. You know, many people feel unloved. Would you agree with me? That's why they would make things just to get other people's attention and just to be felt loved. And I know parents, you see that in your children as well. They're demanding love. They're seeing that. Always remind them that you love them so much. And always remind them that yes, we fail, but Jesus will never fail to love you. Amen. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's love. Of course, tough love as well sometimes. Because if we do something, then there's always a consequence for it. Why? Because He loves you. He loves us. It's always an act of love. You know, pointing out that God's love is shown in our predestination. That fact that God chooses us and predestines us believers for His glorious future with Him is most certainly an act of love. And love is both the basis for the end product of our holiness. It is always the basis of our holiness, love. Because God loves us and He wants to protect us. That's why He separated us for a specific purpose. And what is that purpose? To be a holy person and for His good pleasure. That is how God loved us so much. So brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's the first blessing. The first blessing is this again, that we are chosen by God. Second blessing is in verse 5. Look at your Bibles in verse 5. He says there, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, God's loving plan of salvation called for all who accept Christ to be received as sons. What does John 1:12 says? As many as receive Him, to them give He the power to be the sons of God. I always say this, in the Philippines, we have big malls. And though most of the big malls are owned by the C family, S-Y. So, we always say this, how would you feel if you're a son of Henry C? Let's say, how would you feel if you're the son of Bill Gates? Everybody relates with Microsoft. How would you feel? Like, you go to a shop, you could just get anything that you want. Go somewhere that you want. How would that? Oh, this is the son of Bill Gates. Oh, welcome. You would be known, right? And it would make you feel as if you're important. You know, the word adoption, this is a legal process, and in the Hebrew society, it's unknown for them. But in a Greco-Roman law, this is a well-known term. It means a well-to-do but childless adult who wanted an heir would adopt a male, usually at the age of other than infancy, and frequently a slave to be his son. And since adoption was often combined with making of a will, which includes the duty to care for the aged parent, and adoption was practiced as a way of providing for one's old age. And
of course, once you are adapted to that family, you've gained whatever privileges of that family. That's adaption. And listen, you and I, all of us, are adopted to the family of God. And do you know what the benefit is being adopted to the family of God? Simple. Who's God? Creator of heaven and earth. That means if you're adopted to His family, then that means everything you can enjoy. That's what God told Adam and Eve. Enjoy everything. Because God created everything to be enjoyed. All the blessings that God has given us. Every day is such a blessing that we should enjoy because that is part of being adopted to the family of God. Isn't that great to be adopted? You know, growing up, my mother and father got separated. And you know how hard it is for children to grow up without parents. It was a blessing for me. I see it as a blessing because I was already old. I mean, old enough to understand. But I have a younger brother who was, that time I think he was high school or no, elementary. And I know he did not understand what happened. And he would ask, why aren't we staying in mom's house? Or why aren't we staying in dad's house? And those things. And they lived separately in different islands. But you know, it's always a struggle to do that. But you know, being a Christian, it would remind you that no matter whatever happens to your biological parents, you still have a God, the Father, who owns everything, that loves you and wants you. That's being adopted. Now, what does it mean, or what is God's reason? Do you know what's God's reason for adopting you and me? There are two reasons. Let me just give you two reasons. Number one, He does it in love. Because He loves you and loves me, and He adopted us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The world there means ethnos, meaning all kinds of people in the world. That means no matter who you are, God loves you and God wants you to be part of His family. God is inviting everybody to become part of His family, and He does it in love. And second reason why God is adopting us, because He does it according with His good pleasure and will. That's according to the verse. That God wants people to be saved. It is not His will that anyone should perish, according to 2 Peter 3:9, but all should come to repentance and be saved. When men do repent, God gladly accepts them with a divine attitude of good pleasure. And God is not merely willing to save us, but He is delighted to do so. God is not just happy that He is saving us, but He is delighted to do so. And that is the blessing of being adopted to God's family. You know, there's a story. There's a sales psychologist that they had this, they did this in Paris. And there was a Paris dry goods store. There was a notice on the window of a store in Paris that says, shopping only with special permission of the management, permits issued upon application. Let me just repeat that. There's a store and there's a notice that was put in the store that says, shopping only with special permission of the management and permits issued upon application. And you know what? Although the prices of that store was not low, it's quite expensive, but the store sales quickly jump up 400%. You know the reason? That special feeling of you being allowed to shop because you've been permitted to shop because of that, that shopping is only given to you, or permits are given to you upon application. And that's the beauty of being a believer. We all have this because we have been adapted to God's family. all the perks of being a believer. And what are those? You know, we could pray directly to the Father. We don't need to go to a person and tell the person, hey, can you pray for me, and go to the Father and tell. No, we don't need to do that. Why? The Father says, you just go to me, ask whatever, and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find, and knock and shall be opened unto you. Why? That is our one of our blessings, because we have been adopted to God's family. And we can speak to our Father directly. What a blessing. Because we have His Word, He can talk to us, of course, not go out from the Bible and speak to us, but the Bible speaks to us because this is His Word. And what a blessing to communicate with the Lord of our Lords, which is the Father and the Creator of heaven and earth. Last but not the least, as I said, it won't be long. The third, and we will end with this, and we will continue next Sunday. Not only the blessing of being chosen, not only the second blessing is that we are adopted, but the third is in verse 6. Look at your Bibles. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You know, the focus of that verse is not the glory of God, but the glory of His grace. The third blessing of being a believer is that we have been given grace by God. You know, I cannot overemphasize grace, because grace is just a word that we cannot experience everything without it. You know, grace, God's grace has been given graciously and bestowed freely to us. And God's grace is given free of charge, but not only to those, but only to those who are in the Beloved. And God loves for His Son is so great that He gladly embraces us for Jesus' sake. And when Jesus was given to us, that was all because of God's grace. We don't deserve it. We do not deserve it. Somebody said, when we speak about humility, there was a story of a pastor who was given an award of the most humble person in the whole world. Wow. That Sunday, he brought the trophy with him. The next day, it was taken away from him. You know, we cannot brag about anything that we do, because again, it's always by the grace of God. We can never separate God's grace in us. Those who unite themselves with Christ will share the Father's good pleasure, according to Romans 6:5. And His grace, which is the unmerited favor that He showed to His chosen one, is indeed glorious. Without it, we have no hope, and our lives would be nothing more than a few years on earth. We will live as if there is no hope, no direction at all, if not for God's grace. You know, instead, because we have God's grace, we have purpose for living and hope of eternal life. Why? Because of His grace. And that grace is freely given unto us. It's not about what we do. It's because of what God did. It's because of what God can do. And that's grace. And we thank the Lord for that, because it is not focused on us, it is focused on God. And what a wonderful privilege to be a Christian, to be bestowed of God's grace, not looking on ourselves, but looking on what God can do. It means that this grace giving is indicated in the verse. That means to the one that He loves, that His grace was freely given again. It was a free gift, not something that we earn or we deserve, that we can work for. It was given to us freely. And through God's grace, we have been forgiven from our sins, and we have been freed from the penalty of our sins. Glorious grace. And we could say that God's love for His only Son was motivated Him to have many more sons, and thus us, and through His grace that He has given us. Can you go to the next slide, please? This is Father Chiniquy. I'm sorry if I'm not able to pronounce his name, but you could search this on Google, Wikipedia. But here's his story. One Sunday morning, he's, by the way, Catholic priest. One Sunday morning, before his congregation of 1,000 person in Illinois, he said these words, "My people, I resign my priesthood, though I have been here 30 years. And then, at their earnest request, he gave his reason why he resigned from that church. He said, "Last night, I spent every hour praising God. All sleep had left me. After reading the New Testament, I saw that salvation is in Jesus Christ and the gift of God's eternal love. Penance is not in it. Purgatory is not in it. Absolution is not on it. On my knees in my room, I accepted the gift and I loved the giver. I walked the room most of the night saying to myself, I accept the gift and I love the giver." And thus, after for an hour and a half, Father Chiniquy expounded to the people the grace of God. And you know what happened after that? At least 2,000 people followed him and they created a Presbyterian church. That changed everything. Why? They understood God's grace. Unless we understand what grace is all about, we can never fully experience the blessing of being a believer. Let me end with this. Let me just conclude with the three blessings. I know there are four more that I can give you, but that's next Sunday. Just to give you a thrill and that you could come, or you cannot come if you chose not to. But, well, as a Christian, our lives are living tributes to God's grace. How we live our life reflect on how we understand God's grace. And God selected us as believers so that we might praise Him. And when others look at our lives, what kind of tribute do they see? You know, let our life and worship express our gratitude to God. And as we live each day, may we reflect on that blessing and more so on that grace of God. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for the blessing being a believer. Yes, Lord, it's not easy. You said in your word that those who will live righteous must suffer persecution. The things that we're going through right now is just because the world hated you first. So that's why, Lord, let us live a life that is pleasing unto you. Not according to what the world wants, but according to what you want. That we will live our life reflecting on the blessing that you have given us. May this church live up to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we walk uprightly in your ways and in your will. And may you bless each families that are represented tonight. And even for those who were not able to join us, you know whatever they're going through right now. Maybe they're sick or maybe they're doing something. But we pray, dear Lord, I pray that you continue to bless them and remind them that you love them so much and you want them to walk in your way and to walk in your will. And I pray that you will be praised always in our lives, that our life would be a reflection, a tribute of everything that you have done to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.